Want to talk today about Proverbs, and we've been looking at different themes in Proverbs, and yes, I can dismiss our young people for children's church. I just about forgot that. I'd have really owed you a couple of those those chocolates. Our subject this morning is on friendship. The Bible has a lot to say about that, but I want to focus in on what Proverbs has to say about that. Friendship is not something that I have ever felt like I've ever mastered in my life. It comes hard. I started life with a lot of setbacks. I was in therapy as a little toddler for motor development skills and all of that kind of stuff. And so even in elementary school, I just couldn't keep up the pace that other kids could and do things that they could do and that kind of thing. And then I was born with a deformed bladder. And so if I went to school, I was always the kid that had the wet pants. Every time I came in from recess, I had wet pants. And I still vividly remember, especially in first grade, every time I wet my pants and there was a puddle underneath my seat, the teacher would haul me up front and show me off to the class that I had wet my pants and I'd return to my desk and all of that. So, you know, some of those kind of things make it a challenge to make friends. And then, of course, my dad died before I ever started school on the farm accident. And so I couldn't connect with other kids about their dads. And then I flunked first grade and got to do that all over again with a whole new set of kids and all of that. So I could go on through school and all of that, but you get the point. School was never the place where I was going to find friends, and friendship was going to come naturally or easily for me. And I don't come from parents. My grandparents had that friendship gene in them, but my parents did not. I had the privilege, however, as a pastor, of pastoring in two places where I was there for an extended time, first at Johnson Corners and then here, where I've been able to watch kids in school settings for a longer period of time. And I've watched some who through their own behaviors in very young grades just alienated their classmates to the point where, you know, almost no return. Nothing they could do good at some point where kids want to be their friend again. and then, you know, about the time they discover that they really need friends, and they start to change their behaviors, it's too late because the other kids have already formed all their friendships and they don't let other people in very easily and all of that kind of stuff. So I watch this in school settings. And Ethel Barrymore said this. She said, "The best time to make friends is before you need them." Well, the problem is a lot of times you don't do that, or you don't have the ability to, or your behavior or your actions and all of that complicates that whole process. So I've also watched other kids who seem to have that winning personality and some kind of a friendship gene that exists in some kids that just naturally make friends and all of that. Everywhere they go, other people want to be their friend, and then there's other kids who want that in the worst way. And they can't make it happen. I've watched some young people so desperate for a friend that when a friendship starts to happen, they just smother it to death. And the friends just run away because they can't handle being smothered. Well, that hunger for friendship continues on in life. It doesn't go away just because we become adults. Craig Rochelle wrote couple years ago in a devotional he wrote, he said, "Sadly enough, however, the average American now says that they only have two friends that they would consider to be close. And sadder still, 25% of Americans say they have zero friends." Not a single one. That's one out of four Americans that say they don't have any friends they would consider to be close friends. Well, as a pastor, I also watch some other dynamics. I watch people go through the loss of significant friendships. The older we get, some of you know this, the older we get, the more funerals we go to of close friends and family members. And long life is always nice, but it can be also very lonely towards the end if you've got all your good friends and they're all gone and you're left and your friends are gone. I also watch some people who lose spouses who have been really significant, good friends also. Going to church for yourself, by yourself for the first time, and after that, going to dinner by yourself continually, going to just sitting at home by yourself when you've always had company. Many of you know that feeling and the loneliness that comes in and that desire for a friend. And the thing is, so often in that case, your friends don't know what to do or how to act or what to say. And now that your spouse is gone, and sometimes in their confusion, they just awkwardly avoid you because they don't know what to do. Instead of just coming and addressing the issue and finding out how they can step in and be there for you and all of that. Our culture doesn't help a whole lot either. Social media sprouted up, and then that followed by COVID, and we've kind of lost our ability to develop friendships. We work a lot of times in isolation from one another. We develop token relationships on social media where we rant and rave and get jealous of each other. You walk around town and there's houses that have these big porches like the farmhouses used to all have, built back in the day when the big front porch was so important for family gatherings and bringing in neighbors and playing cards and doing all kinds of things on that front porch. And then air conditioning came and we got more comfortable being inside than outside, where there was fresh air. And then, pretty soon, the porches are still there, but nobody even uses them, and nobody even would know how to use them, or they couldn't find people that would even come to sit on their front porch with them and hang out as friends. Churches, like us, talk about being a friendly church. And we make attempts at being friendly. But the truth is, we have to discover that people don't want friendly. They need friends. And how many of us are really willing to put the work into being a good friend? To make friends like people did in a bygone era. Craig Rochelle writes again that Jesus chose only 12 men. Out of all the crowds, he chose 12 to be his disciples that were good friends. And then you narrow that down and he had three really good friends, Peter, James, and John. And John being there where John himself in his gospel refers to himself as the one that Jesus loved, the beloved disciple, the best friend of Jesus. Well, what does Proverbs have to say to us about friendship? Some traits about what a good friend does. Well, a good friend, their word is worth something. Their word to you and their word about you is good. They can keep a secret in confidence, and they will never be a person that will stab you in the back. Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Proverbs 17:9 says, one who conceals an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. So they're not going to just take something that's unfortunate that's happened and just spread that and let everyone know, but they'll conceal it and they'll work with you and love you in the midst of that. Proverbs 22 verse 11 says, one who loves a pure heart and who speaks with grace will have a king for a friend. Now that pure heart is one that doesn't have mixed motives and intentions. They just simply care about you as a person. A gracious tongue is marked by good taste and kindness and courtesy. And the fact is, the higher you rise in society, sometimes in leadership or in politics or in authority, the fewer people that are out there that you can find that have that pure heart and a gracious tongue. There's always somebody out there that has neither one of those. Samuel Johnson said, there can be no true friendship without confidence, and no confidence without integrity or character. We have to have that in our life if we're going to be a good friend. A good friend, secondly, is one who is always faithful. Almost kind of like our wedding vows. For richer or poorer, in sickness and in health. A friend is going to stand by you in all of that. No matter what you go through in your life, a friend will be there. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. Now there's some scholars that believe that that verse should be translated this way. A friend loves at all times, but it is in adversity that friend becomes a brother. That when the tough times come and that friend stands by you and is faithful, that's when that friend really becomes a brother to you, a trusted and loyal brother. Walter Winchell says, a real friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out of your life. And all of us want to have that kind of a friend, and all of us need to be that kind of a friend to someone. Solomon tells us that a good friend is like a close brother. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions, or another translation says, unreliable friends, may come to ruin, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and all of us have heard that proverb. Well, a great friend is one that you can count on. And having a friend that you can count on that is faithful to you is worth more to you than having many friends who will not consistently be there and not always be faithful to you. Friendship that is closer, that sticks closer than a brother, takes a lot of work, though. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of investment. Friendship should be thought of as a good plant that needs to be cultivated, fertilized, and taken care of. So we have to be proactive in building and maintaining solid friendships. Sometimes life forces us to start over making those deep and strong friendships. And, things that have come along, sometimes our friends die, sometimes they get sick, sometimes they move. All kinds of things happen in life, and sometimes we have to start over. And I know many of you have started over on friendships as a result of that, and you've had to just move on and develop some new friends. But it takes some initiative on our part. And if we're going to be people who make friends and have friends, every one of us has to take the initiative to make that happen. Dale Carnegie says you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming genuinely interested in the other person than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. So just a good reminder. Thirdly, good friends are not fly-by-nights who are only there because of what you can give them or do for them. They are interested in you, genuinely interested in you. They're faithful always. Proverbs 19:4-6 says, wealth brings many friends, but a poor man's friends desert him. Many curry favor with a ruler, and everyone is a friend of a man who gives gifts. Well, those verses remind us that sometimes our friendship can be that thin, where we're only in it to get something. But a real friend is one who is there whether there's something to be had or not. And those verses also remind us that the people who can easily attract friends because of what they can do for other people, those people really need real friends too, that are there regardless of what they can do for them. They need people that are faithful and real and genuinely interested in them. And so often we tend to forget that. We look at the person who seems to have it all, and we don't think that they need a friend. And a lot of times they're the ones that desperately need a friend. And so we have to be mindful of that as Christians. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, "Many claim an unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find." A good friend will also be one who tells you the truth in love, who will offer wise counsel, who will correct you. To be a good friend, you have to be able to receive the truth spoken in love and receive correction and that kind of thing too. Because if you can't do that, then nobody can be transparent and real with you. And a lot of times we've developed kind of this sensitivity culture around us where anyone that speaks any word of correction to us, and we just get mad right away. And we destroy friendships that way because nobody can be real with us, and we can't be real with anyone else because we can't tell the truth in love without somebody getting all mad and irate. And we have to be able to do that. It's the only way to be transparent. It's the only way to true friendship if you can't be real and tell people what you're thinking without getting all mad and upset. Those are the only people that can have real friendships, when you can sit down and have a reasonable conversation and even disagree in love. So keep that in mind. Proverbs 27, verses 6 and 9 says this, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." They will flatter you, tell you what you want to hear, but a friend may wound you. But that's the person that's really being a friend to you. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. Do you have a friend that's willing to speak truth and give you counsel in your life? It is a sign of our own maturity and our genuine friendship if we allow our friends to wound us with truth spoken in love and humility. A truly faithful friend will love us enough to confront us, to counsel us, to hold us accountable, to be a godly influence in our life when we've lost our way. And a friend is one who does not just flatter us or tell us what we want to hear. They'll speak truth into our life. Henry Ford said, "My best friend is the one who brings out the best in me." See, do you have people that bring out the best in you? And are you bringing out the best in other people? Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." And then great friends, as Christians, should help each other grow in Christ. We need a knowledge of God's word. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And we need to be sensitive to the love that Jesus has for each person that we encounter. I love the scripture that Paula read this morning with the rich young ruler. And it says, "And Jesus looked at him and he loved him." He didn't have good news to share with him, at least from the perspective of the rich young ruler. But Jesus loved him as he told him the truth. We are also to value generational friendships. And this is kind of something that has been lost in our current culture, I think. I think my grandparents practiced this so much better than what I see, and I think than what we see today so often. But Proverbs 27:10 says, "Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father. And do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother who is far away." Now, if you think about this, Solomon wrote this, and Solomon valued his father's friends. Remember Hiram, the great friend of David? Solomon honored him and kept rapport with him and all of that. But Solomon's son, when Solomon died and turned the kingdom over to Rehoboam, Remember, Rehoboam ignored the advice and the counsel and all the wisdom of Solomon's friends and counselors, and he split the kingdom. And we went from having one nation of Israel to having Israel and Judah. And 10 tribes left and said, we have no part in David anymore because of Rehoboam. All of that just because Rehoboam did not respect and honor the friends of his father, Solomon, who was the wisest man that God had on the earth. And he didn't have the wisdom to follow in the footsteps of those who provided counsel to him. Now, as Proverbs tells us some things that we should do in good friendships, it also tells us some ways that we sabotage friendships. And as you might expect, they're kind of opposite of what I've just talked about, some of the same verses. But our words and what we say can so often sabotage our friendships. Proverbs 11:13 again says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. And 17:9, one who conceals an offense seeks love, but he who repeats the matter separates close friends. A perverse person stirs up a conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. So often it is our words that do great damage to our friendships. And we have to be careful about the words that we speak. Make sure that we're not one of those people that just stir up issues and stir up problems and conflict and all of that. And we're not trying to put a wedge in between. I've seen people put a wedge between someone else because they were jealous of their friendship. you know, those kind of things that are just childish. And so one of the first steps in reconciliation there is for us to be able to admit when our words have done damage and our actions have damaged the relationship and the friendship. And that's the first step in trying then to rebuild trust, if that can be rebuilt. Proverbs 25:19 says, like a broken tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in a time of trouble. And so he's saying, you know, one of the things that sabotages friendships is when people are really in need and we just ignore them or we walk away from them. That's when a friend really needs to step in. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. In other words, they just flatter or say whatever's needed and they move on instead of addressing issues as they come up. Lastly, in sabotaging friendship, we can just be just flat out inconsiderate of the habits and personalities and traits of our friend. There's a funny proverb that makes that point. It says, whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice early in the morning will be counted as a curse. There are some people who are just not morning people, and you don't want to wake them up singing at the top of your lungs. you know, and then there's other people that like to go to bed early at night, and you don't want to be the rabble rouser that's got your decibels way up there cranking the music up for your friends at that time of night. And so he says, you know, if you can sabotage relationships just by being inconsiderate and not considering how that other person thinks and likes their habits and all of those kind of things. Then Proverbs, thirdly, wants to caution us in the friends that we make. Proverbs 12:26 says, a righteous man is cautious in friendship. Friends are needed, but we do have to be careful with them. But the way of the wicked leads them astray, and that's the reason we have to be careful. We have to make sure that our friends are not going to lead us astray. A righteous man will pick his friends according to where his friends will lead him or her. How will this person influence my life? Will I have more influence on them, or will they have more influence on me? Where is that influence leading? And we ought to consider that when we're choosing our friends. Cervantes said, tell me thy company, and I'll tell you what you are, what thou art. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. So John Maxwell said, you will acquire the vices and the virtues of your best friends. The fragrance of their life will pervade your life. And that can be a pleasant fragrance, or it can be the fragrance of a skunk. So what fragrance do you want? Your friends determine what's going to rub off on your life. The Latins have a proverb, he that lies down with dogs shall rise up with flies. Or fleas, I think it should be. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25 says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man, person. Do not associate with one who is easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. And then our friends should not be people that rebel against God or authority. That spirit just invites trouble. My son, Solomon wrote, my son, fear the Lord and the king, and do not join with those who do otherwise, for disaster will arise suddenly from them, and who knows the ruin that will come from them both. Our friends not only affect us, but also our families. Proverbs would remind us, and if our friends have no self-discipline, we eventually will end up disappointing our families. Proverbs 28, verse 7 says, he who keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons disgraces his father. Proverbs 29, 3 says, a man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father, but a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth. The Jews have a proverb that says, in choosing a friend, always go a step up. Look for someone that will pick you and help you take that next step in going up. So in lacking friends, I would say this reminder. Ask God for friends. A lot of times, you know, James says you do not have because you do not ask God. And sometimes in some of these kind of matters, all kinds of things in life, we ought to just stop and ask God. God, provide the friends. God, show me who I can be a friend to. Secondly, we need to be a friend. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, the only way to have a friend is to be one. Kill the things in your life that sabotage friendships. And then choose your friends wisely. Jesus chose 12 disciples, but he had an inner circle of three. And then he had his best friend, John. And then I want to close just by going to Jesus this morning. Albert Hubbard said, a friend is someone who knows all about you and still loves you. The best friends in your life know you best. But there is no one that knows you and knows me and everything about me more than Jesus does. And he still loves me. Jesus knows things about me that I don't even know. Jesus knows stuff about you that you don't even know or you've forgotten. And he still loves you. And he loves me. And he's a faithful friend. And he will never, ever, ever die. He's eternal. And every one of us need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a best friend in our life. He died in advance for our sins. John 15, 13 through 15 says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for I have already shown you what I've heard from my father and made that known to you. You know, the thing that aggravated the religious establishment in Jesus' day so much about Jesus was that he loved tax collectors and sinners, and he loved the poor, and he loved the oppressed. And they thought they were insulting him when they called him a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And they weren't insulting him at all. Because what did those tax collectors and sinners need? What did the poor and the marginalized and the oppressed need? They needed a friend. And Jesus was that friend. He became their friend and he changed their lives. So I want to say to all of us today, develop a relationship with Jesus. Don't be a servant. Don't just be an employee of God, but enter into a friendship. Enter into a friendship relationship with Jesus. He is the best friend that anyone could ever have, and your life will be better with him than without him. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you today and we just thank you for the privilege of being called a friend by you. We know what Paul says. We know what Isaiah says. We know that we were under the wrath of God. Sinners. And yet, while we were yet sinners, you sent your one and only Son to die on a cross because you loved us. And we thank you for that kind of love, a love that is willing to die for us. A love that sent Jesus to the cross for us. And so, Father, today, we just ask, Lord, that you would help each one of us to walk into and develop that relationship, that friendship with Jesus in our life. We all would also ask, Lord, that you would help us to model the kinds of friendships that Jesus developed. That you would give us wisdom to have best friends. People that we really care about. I pray, Lord, for those that are suffering in loneliness right now because the person that they've counted on for being a friend for so many years is gone. And that loneliness and that separation just is a continual pain in their life. I pray, Lord, that you would undergird them and strengthen them and minister to them. I pray, Father, today that you would help our young people to develop good friends, friends that will make a difference in their life, friends that will be a step up. I pray, Lord, that you'd help each one of us and give us wisdom. Help us, Lord, to know what we can do not to sabotage friendships. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give us wisdom in being that really good, faithful, honest, transparent friend that makes a difference in the lives of people around us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just ask that you stand and